Hello, my name is Yulia Feykina, and I'm joined today by Yelena Voila. We are ISB staff working on conceptual framework project. With that, I turn it over to Yelena, who will tell you about how this webinar will work.
So just a couple of things before we start. You can download the slide pack by clicking on the Events Resources button on the left-hand side of your screen. Also, this webinar is not live, it is a recording, so we are not taking questions of the audience today. And finally, the views we'll be expressing today are our own, not necessarily those of the ISB or IFRS Foundation. So the topic we are presenting today is just part of what is covered by the Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft. In this webinar, we will be covering the proposed guidance on whether to present income and expenses in profit or loss or in other comprehensive income, or OCI for short. However, that is just one section of the Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft. We have already recorded four webinars on the Conceptual Framework. The first one provides a general overview of the Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft, while other webinars look into more detail on specific topics covered in the Exposure Draft. These webinars can be found on the Conceptual Framework page of our website. We will provide details at the end of this webinar. The dates of future webinars and the topics we plan to cover are given on this slide. So at this webinar, I will ask Yulia to provide us with some background on the approach to presentation of information about financial performance that we have taken in the Exposure Draft, and explain what the Exposure Draft says about classification of income and expenses to profit or loss, or OCI. Yulia will also discuss some examples of the current use of profit or loss and OCI in the existing standards. And finally, we will explain how you can find further information on the Conceptual Framework project and the deadline for providing comments on the Conceptual Framework Exposure Draft. So, Yulia, could you start by reminding us what guidance on reporting financial performance is included in the current conceptual framework?
Yes. In the current conceptual framework, there is very little guidance on reporting financial performance. It is only discussed in the context of the objectives of financial reporting. The current conceptual framework implies that all income and expenses are a result of the entity's financial performance and are included in total comprehensive income. However, there is no guidance on when income and expenses are included in profit or loss and when they are included in OCI. Many interested parties, including respondents to the ISB's 2011 agenda consultation, told the ISB that guidance on reporting financial performance is urgently needed. So the ISB is looking to address this gap in the conceptual framework.
So what did the ISB suggest in the discussion paper?
In the discussion paper, the ISB did not seek to define or directly describe profit or loss. Given the broad range of income and expenses included in profit or loss, the ISB suggested to distinguish between income and expenses included in profit or loss and those included in OCI by describing the types of income and expenses that can be included in OCI, so describing profit or loss indirectly. The discussion paper suggested three types of income and expenses that could be included in OCI: bridging items, mismatch remeasurements, and transitory remeasurements. And it also suggests related approaches to recycling, that is, subsequent reclassification of OCI items to profit or loss. The discussion paper also suggested the so-called narrow and broad approaches to OCI. The narrow approach to OCI would exclude transitory remeasurements discussed in the discussion paper. Under the broad approach, those transitory remeasurements would be included in OCI. The discussion paper also acknowledged the role of profit or loss as an important source of information about an entity's financial performance for the period, and also stated the ISB's preliminary view that profit or loss should be required as a total or subtotal in the conceptual framework.
So did those suggestions receive support from the respondents to the discussion paper?
Generally, respondents welcomed the ISB's work on profit or loss and OCI, but expressed very mixed views on the proposals in the discussion paper. In particular, respondents expressed diverse views on how broad or how narrow OCI should be. They generally agreed that some or all items included in OCI should be recycled. However, there were very mixed views on which items should be recycled and when they should be recycled. Also, respondents did not seem to find categories of items discussed in the discussion paper a particularly useful way of analyzing the problem. On profit or loss, however, views were more consistent. Many respondents agreed that profit or loss is an important source of information about an entity's financial performance for the period, and that profit or loss should be required as a total or subtotal in the conceptual framework. In addition, many respondents felt that the proposals on profit or loss in OCI in the discussion paper were underdeveloped and required more thought and analysis. Many asked the ISB to define or precisely describe profit or loss or financial performance. However, very few respondents made suggestions as to how that might be done.
So how is the ISB responding to the feedback received on the discussion paper, especially given mixed views and the request for more work?
The ISB continues to believe that conceptual guidance on the use of OCI and profit or loss is urgently needed, and therefore proposes to include such high-level guidance in the exposure draft. That proposed guidance builds on the fundamental ideas in the discussion paper and takes into account feedback received. In the exposure draft, the ISB does not propose to define profit or loss in the conceptual framework. The ISB noted that there have already been many attempts to do so, but those attempts have not been successful in the past. In addition, the ISB noted that there is no single characteristic or indeed a set of characteristics that could be used to consistently distinguish items of income and expense that could be included in profit or loss and those that could be included in OCI. Accordingly, the ISB proposes to include in the conceptual framework a description of profit or loss and also guidance on when profit or loss should be used. However, in addition, the ISB also decided to undertake a project on primary financial statements, and that project would also consider reporting financial performance.
So should we move on to the proposals themselves? Could you please walk us through what the exposure draft proposes on profit or loss?
Consistent with the feedback received on the discussion paper, the exposure draft describes the statement of profit or loss as the primary source of entities, as the primary source of information about an entity's financial performance for the period. The exposure draft also describes the objective of the statement of profit or loss, which is to depict the return that the entity has made during the period and also provide information that is useful in assessing prospects for future cash flows and is useful in assessing management stewardship of the entity's resources. Now, because profit or loss is the primary source of information about financial performance, there is a rebuttable presumption that all income and expenses should be included in profit or loss. So in other words, profit or loss is the most inclusive source of information about an entity's performance. And finally, because profit or loss is the primary source of information about an entity's performance for the period, the exposure draft also proposes that the conceptual framework should require a total or subtotal for profit or loss. So in other words, profit or loss is the main location for income and expenses, and they could only be excluded from profit or loss in exceptional cases.
You said that the exposure draft describes profit or loss as the primary source of information about an entity's performance for the period. So when could OCI be used? In other words, when there is that rebuttable presumption on the use of P&L could be rebutted? Also, what does the exposure draft propose about recycling?
Okay, so let me start by saying that the rebuttable presumption on the use of profit or loss could only be rebutted by the ISB in standard setting. Entities could not choose when to include items of income and expense in P&L or OCI. There are two conditions that must be met in order for the ISB to require or permit for an item of income and expense to be included in OCI. So first of all, OCI is for remeasurements only. This is because the ISB concluded that items of income and expense related to transactions, consumption of assets, impairment of assets, or fulfillment of liabilities are always relevant to profit or loss. Please note also that because we're talking about remeasurements, it means that items of income and expenses that arise on initial recognition of an asset or a liability could only be included in profit or loss. They could never be included in OCI. The second condition is that an item of income and expense could only be included in OCI if doing so would enhance the relevance of profit or loss as a primary source of information about performance for the period. Now, the ISB does not propose any specific guidance as to when doing so would enhance the relevance of profit or loss. However, this principle would still provide a useful anchor to the ISB in deciding when it is appropriate to include an item of income and expense in OCI rather than profit or loss. It would also provide discipline because the ISB would need to explain why including a particular item of income and expense in OCI would enhance the relevance of profit or loss for that period. Another point that I would like to emphasize is that even if an item of income and expense is excluded from profit or loss and included in OCI, it still provides useful information about an entity's performance and should not be ignored. The exposure draft highlights that OCI is also a source of information about an entity's performance. And finally, let's talk about recycling. So if profit or loss is a primary source of information about an entity's performance, it follows that all income and expenses at some point in time must be included in profit or loss. And therefore, the exposure draft proposes a rebuttable presumption on recycling, which is all OCI items must be recycled to profit or loss. This presumption could be rebutted, for example, if there is no clear and meaningful basis for subsequent recycling. However, the exposure draft also suggests that if no clear and meaningful basis for recycling could be identified, that might be an indication that the item of income and expense should not be included in OCI in the first place.
Right, so Yulia, could you give us some examples on how OCI is used in existing standards and discuss whether you think those examples are consistent with the proposals in the exposure draft?
Sure. Let me start by saying that we can't really opine on what the ISB would have concluded if it had followed the guidance that is proposed in the exposure draft. We can only express our own opinions. In particular, this is true for the discussion of what enhances relevance of profit or loss and why. Let us start by looking at hedging instruments in a cash flow hedge. Is a change in the fair value of the hedging instrument a remeasurement? Yes, it is, so tick the box. Does including this remeasurement in OCI enhance the relevance of profit or loss? Yes, because the use of OCI allows to match the timing of recognition of gains and losses on the hedging instrument in profit or loss with the timing of recognition of cash flows on the hedged item, and that reflects the economic essence of the hedging relationship. That alignment of in timing is achieved by recycling gains and losses on hedging instrument to profit or loss when cash flows on the hedged items are recognized in profit or loss. So the presumption on recycling is also met in this case, and we have ticked all the boxes. Now, let's look at accounting for debt instruments classified at fair value for OCI in accordance with IFRS 9. The standard requires that interest income, impairment, and gains and losses on sale of such investments are recognized in profit or loss, and other changes in value are included in OCI, so we tick the first box. What goes to OCI is remeasurement. But why is it included in OCI? Well, the fair values for other comprehensive income category under IFRS 9 are for those investments where the objective of the business model for managing those investments is achieved by both holding the instruments to collect contractual cash flows and by selling them. Because both collection of cash flows and sale are integral to achieving the objective of the business model, the ISB concluded that both amortized cost information and fair value information are relevant for such investments. Amortized cost provides information that is relevant to the hold-to-collect aspect of the business model, and fair value provides information that is relevant to the hold-to-sell aspect of the business model. By including interest income, impairment, and gains and losses on sale and profit or loss, and other changes in value in OCI, the ISB ensures that both sets of information are provided. By the way, reflecting amortized cost profile and profit or loss means that remeasurements included in OCI are recycled to profit or loss when the instrument is recognized. So again, we have ticked all the boxes. Now, let's look at another use of OCI under IFRS 9. The standard requires that changes in fair value of financial liabilities that are designated under the fair value option are recognized in OCI to the extent they are attributable to changes in the entity's own credit risk. In other words, if an entity's credit standing deteriorates, the resulting fair value gain on the entity's financial liabilities is recognized in OCI. So again, OCI is used for remeasurement. Why does it enhance the relevance of profit or loss? Well, many interested parties had long told the ISB that recognizing a gain on a financial liability when an entity's credit standing deteriorates is counterintuitive and does not provide useful information. Accordingly, the ISB decided that such gains and losses should be included in OCI. So we take the second box. However, such gains and losses are not subsequently recycled, so the rebuttable presumption in this case is rebutted. So we have a cross. Would it be possible to identify a consistent and meaningful basis for recycling those gains and losses? Yes, for example, the ISB could require recycling of any accumulated OCI gains and losses when the liability is derecognized. When the ISB discussed this topic, the ISB noted that financial liabilities are more often settled rather than transferred, in which case gains and losses in OCI would automatically wind down to zero. However, it is possible that such a liability is transferred, in which case there could be a balance in OCI. So arguably, it is feasible that the ISB could have reached a different conclusion on recycling in this case if it had considered the guidance that is proposed in the exposure draft. Finally, let's look at pension accounting. One of the most controversial topics here is accounting for actuarial gains and losses. Changes in actuarial assumptions lead to changes in pension assets and liabilities, so we take the first box. Some argue that including these items in profit or loss is not helpful because they are highly uncertain, have little predictive value, and may reverse over time. Others argue that all changes in pension assets and liabilities should go to profit or loss because information about actuarial gains and losses is important and could otherwise get lost because there is no clear basis for subsequent recycling of those items. So we put a question mark under relevance and a cross under recycling. These gains and losses are not recycled. In this case, the presumption is rebutted because the ISB could not identify a meaningful basis for recycling actuarial gains and losses. So to conclude, even though the guidance on the use of OCI proposed in the exposure draft is high level and is not as robust as some would prefer, you can still see that even with such a high-level guidance, the ISB could have reached different conclusions on the use of OCI and recycling compared to what we have today.
Interesting. Thank you, Yulia. And what about the use of profit or loss in existing standards? Do you think there are examples of the use of profit or loss today that are actually consistent with the proposed guidance on OCI?
Well, that is an interesting question. Indeed, remember we talked about earlier how difficult it is to develop guidance that would consistently distinguish items that should be included in profit or loss from those items that should be included in OCI. Let's look at a few remeasurements. See, we have ticked the first box for all items that are included in profit or loss under existing standards. And let's think about whether there is an argument for including those items in OCI and whether they could be recycled in a meaningful way. Again, these are my personal observations and are not views of the ISB. If we take investment property, personally, I do not see much support for including remeasurement in OCI. Remember, those properties are primarily held for rental income and capital appreciation rather than own use. And entities already have a choice to account for investment property at cost, consistent with how they would account for property, plant, and equipment. So the ISB decided that if an entity chooses to account for investment property at fair value, all fair value changes must go to profit or loss. Note also that in this example, unlike in other examples on the slide that we will discuss in a minute, there are no clear components in fair value changes for which the ISB could consider different requirements. However, if the ISB required remeasurement of investment property to be included in OCI, those items could be recycled when investment property is derecognized. Now, let's look at long-term provisions such as decommissioning liabilities. Some argue that changes in those liabilities related to changes in estimates should be included in OCI. They argue that those liabilities are similar to pensions. They are long-term, uncertain, with effects of changes in estimates reversing over time. They argue that if actuarial gains and losses on pensions go to OCI, that should also be the case for provisions. Remember, we had a question mark for relevance for pensions, so we put a question mark for relevance here as well. However, unlike in the case with pensions, if the ISB decided to include remeasurements of provisions in OCI, such gains and losses could be recycled, for example, when the related liability is derecognized. Next, let's look at biological assets. For such assets, one could argue that changes in value have two main components: physical changes, such as growth and reproduction, and changes in prices. So one could make an argument that the effects of physical changes should go to profit or loss, and the effects of changes in prices should go to OCI. So we put a question mark under relevance. However, recycling could be a difficult question here. And remember, the exposure draft proposes that if there is no meaningful basis for recycling, that might be an indication that an item should not be included in OCI in the first place. The reason recycling could be a tricky question here is because the ISB would need to identify what is the most appropriate unit for unit of account, an individual plant or animal, or a garden and a herd, and how to recycle in the latter case. Finally, let's look at remeasurements of liabilities in a cash-settled share-based payment transaction. Again, some make an analogy with pension accounting and argue that it would be appropriate to include service and time elements of changes in the liability and profit or loss and the effects of changes in market prices in OCI. They also point out that recycling should not create an obstacle here, unlike with pensions, because recycling could take place, for example, when individual share-based payment awards are derecognized. In contrast, pensions are typically not award-based, but continuous. So we gave cash-settled share-based payments awards a question mark and a tick. So again, you have seen that even though the proposals in the exposure draft do not give a clear-cut answers when to include items of income and expense in profit or loss versus OCI, they still provide a useful framework for analysis and decision-making. We await feedback on the proposals in the exposure draft with great interest.
Thank you, Yulia. Before we wrap up this webinar, it is probably worth just briefly reminding our listeners of the timeline for this project. The conceptual framework exposure draft was published in May with a comment letter period of 150 days, which means that it has a common deadline of 26 October 2015. However, we have received a number of requests for an extension to this deadline. The ISB will discuss whether to provide an extension to the deadline at its meeting in September. If there is no extension to the comment deadline, we would hope to finalize the revised conceptual framework by the end of 2016. We have come to the end of this webinar. Yulia and I hope that you have found it useful and that you will return to listen to the rest of the webinars in this series. The dates on which each of the webinars is scheduled to be available are listed on the left-hand column of this slide. But you don't have to listen to the webinars on those dates. They will remain on the ISB website for you to listen to at later dates. In the meantime, if you would like further information on this project, including information on how to submit a comment letter, slide 12 provides links to the relevant pages on our website. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.